Chapter 88. He'd been mad. Fi'ir had followed the instructions of an insane Archmagus who was 7 centuries dead. Fi'ir had made a sword that even he didn't fully understand. He had bent even Lantano Garawashi to his will. He had believed. And now, fraud would build on fraud. Unless Lantano Garawashi chose to end it all. Having sworn himself to the war leader, Fi'ir would be expected to suicide along with Garawashi, but he wouldn't. He knew that. Of course, the war leader might slay him, but Fi'ir didn't think he'd allow that either. So he would cheat again and defend himself with magic. Every saucier eye in Mid-Cryu would despise him. Perhaps one would hunt him down. That was Fi'ir's future. Either that, or serving forever as Lantano Garawashi's illusionist-in-chief, threading pretend flames onto his beautiful sword for the rest of his life. That deception would destroy Lantano Garawashi. If he ruled, he would rule badly, knowing himself to be dishonored. Garawashi was not so young that honor was the only important thing in his life, but he was saucier eye to the roots of his soul. The best thing for Garawashi would be to bury a blade in his own guts. The sun sat low in the sky as Fi'ir ducked to step into the council tent. Inside the tent sat King Jire, Lord General Aegon Brandt, Awan Vi Sovari, and an older major Fi'ir didn't recognize. Fi'ir took an empty seat. King Jire sat with folded hands to Fi'ir's right. His face was emotionless. But that in itself told Fi'ir that the king was worried. As Fi'ir pulled his chair in, something about Logan's right arm drew his attention. There was some magic there, woven small and tight into Logan's vambrace, or his arm. Logan noticed his attention, and folded his hands in his lap, under the table. Fi'ir dismissed it, and continued looking around the table. Vi Sovari had covered herself with a modest mage's dress, but at the wrists and neck, her gray-black, skin-tight wet-boy's garb was still visible. She had dark circles under her eyes, and her skin was pale from her magical exertions at the dam. She was 4 places down the table, almost at the end of Fi'ir's magical vision. But he could see she hadn't overextended her talent. After Solon had used Curoc, he'd looked broken. His hair had grown in white, and he'd only escaped permanent injuries because Dorian was such a gifted healer. With her escapades at the dam, Vi hadn't hurt herself at all. She'd come near the limit of her gifts, but hadn't exceeded it. Fi'ir suspected that with a good night's sleep, she'd be ready to do as much tomorrow. She was easily the most powerful mage here. She might even equal Solon. And, sitting up straight now, at a word from the old major at her right hand, Vi felt huge. As a man's muscles looked most impressive after hard labor, so now did Vi's talent feel enormous. It made Fi'ir feel small, and he didn't like it. The tent flap opened suddenly, and every eye turned to it. But the man who stepped in wasn't Lantano Garawashi. It was a dark-haired, dark-eyed Alatheran, with a waxed mustache and an eagle sigil on his cloak pin. A Marcus, then, from one of Alatera's most important families, and certainly the leader of the 2,000 Alatheran Lancers who'd arrived with the last of the Magi this afternoon.
"I didn't realize this council had anything to do with the Alatheran military,"
Lord General Aegon Brandt said. Clearly, there was some bad blood there. "This council decides if we've got an extra 20,000 Saucyori, or if we lose the 6,000 we've got. I'd say that makes it a council of war. I'm Tiberius Antonius Marcus, Praetor, 4th Army, 2nd Maniple. We're to defend the Chantry. Sisters, Your Majesty." He nodded to them.
An honor, Praetor. Please join us, Logan said.
Before the man sat, the flap opened again, and Lantano Garawashi strode in. He rested his hand over the pommel of his sword and walked to his seat and sat before acknowledging anyone.
Well, everyone's here now except the Sioran regent himself and, of course, the dear Leenaught Overlord, who I suppose will walk in half an hour late and ask that we repeat everything,
Lord General Brandt said.
I suppose he will, Logan said,
since I told him this council wouldn't meet for another half an hour. There were some snickers, but Fi'ir breathed easier. A Leenaught Overlord would likely have all sorts of magic-dampening paraphernalia that would spoil a perfectly good illusion. What little chatter had been going around the room soon died as the sound of thousands of marching feet approached the tent. All 20,000 Sa-Seer Ai were coming. This could get ugly. The tent flap opened, and a teenage boy and a middle-aged man with a fringe of auburn hair around an oiled pate stepped in. The middle-aged man had four locks of hair bound to his, all of them Sioran, all of them old. He stood aside to make way for the boy, who couldn't have been more than 15. The boy had fiery orange hair, cropped close to his skull, and a single, very long lock bound into his hair. He wore ornately embroidered blue silk robes and a ruby-encrusted sword. Fi'ir held the insane thought of breaking off the biggest ruby and using it for his fraud.
Sisters, lords, Praetor, Your Majesty, the middle-aged Sioran said. May I introduce Sa-Seer Ai Hideo Mitsurugi, 6th Regent Hideo, Lord of Mount Tenji, Protector of the Holy Honor, Keeper of the High Seat, Lord General of the Held Armies of Siora.
People around the table greeted the boy. Logan stood and clasped his forearm. The boy was a little overwhelmed, but even as he followed protocol to the best of his ability, he could barely take his eyes off Lantano Garawashi. He must be the boy's hero, Fi'ir thought. Of course, Lantano Garawashi was probably every young Sa-Seer Ai's hero. Garawashi eyed the middle-aged man more than the boy. Was he the real power? The boy a figurehead? As the boy and his minister got closer and took their seats, Fi'ir's heart dropped. The middle-aged man was a court mage of some kind, his talent formidable. Garawashi caught Fi'ir's eye and shook his head slightly. It was the signal to abandon the fraud. It was over. Only death would follow. Hideo Mitsurugi cleared his throat.
I guess, we might as well do what we're here for, shall we?
His eyes flicked upward as he tried to remember his lines.
It has been brought to our attention that claims have been brought forward by you or by your followers, Doen Lantano Garawashi. We understand you have claimed to wield the Blade of Heaven, Sior Celestos.
I have made such claims, Doen Hideo, Garawashi said.
There was something almost cheerful in Garawashi's face. He'd been doing something wrong that he hadn't liked. And now it was finished.
By the ancient law and prophecy, the holder of Sior Celestos is to be Siora's king, a man to usher in the return of the High King, whose reign will announce the birth of the Champion of the Light.
Mitsurugi paused. He'd lost his place. A panicked look came into his eyes. The middle-aged mage whispered a prompt in the boy's ear. It seemed to embarrass Hideo almost to tears.
Do you claim the high seat of Siora, Lantano Garawashi?
I do.
What was he doing? The ear shot a look over at Garawashi's sword. The dragon of the pommel grinned emptily like a boy who'd lost both front teeth.
"Hold on," Lord General Aegon said. "It was my understanding that Siora's regent is Doen Hideo Watanabe. How do we even know that, pardon me, this boy has the authority to test Lantano Garawashi?" "You dare," the middle-aged Sarsiori said, putting a hand to his sword. "Yes, I dare," Aegon said. "And if you draw that sword, I'll dare feed it to you." "Ha! You're an old cripple, which will make your death all the more embarrassing," Aegon said.
"Stop," Mitsurugi said. "Hideo Watanabe is my father." He looked down. "Was. He gathered this army. But before he marched, I learned that he didn't intend to test you, Doen Lantano. He intended to kill you, whether or not you held the real Sior Celestos. I confronted him for dishonoring the regency." Tears came to Mitsurugi's eyes. "We dueled, and I slew him." Fi'ir couldn't believe it. The boy killed his father for the idea of Lantano Garawashi. "I am the regent now, and by my father's blood that stains my hands, I have the right to test the man who would be our king," Hideo Mitsurugi said. "Please, Doen Lantano, show us Sior Celestos." There was the sound of something tearing, and everyone stopped and looked to the back of the tent, where a knife was cutting a vertical slash all the way to the ground. Instantly, every major and magus embraced their talent, and a dozen hands went to the hilts of swords. An assassin would have a hard time with this crowd. A hand poked in and waved. "Pardon me," a man's deep voice said outside the tent. "If I step inside, am I going to be skewered?" Not waiting for an answer, he stepped inside. He had pure white hair with black tips, deeply tanned olive skin, and a muscular bare chest beneath a rich cloak. He wore loose white pants, and a thick gold crown sat snug against his brow.
"Solon?"
Fi'ir asked, astonished. Solon smiled.
"Only to you, my dear friend. As for the rest of you, pardon my unconventional entrance, but you have 20,000 surly Sarsiori blocking the front of the tent. I am Solon Ariwan Terfusen, King of Seth. I would say Emperor, but as of 10 years ago we have no more colonies, so Emperor is a tad pretentious. Your Majesty, King Jaya, I bring 1,000 men to your efforts. I did also bring 5 ships, but someone flooded the river this morning, and now I only have 2, and I'm lucky not to have lost any men. Sisters, should we emerge from this conflict alive, I will be asking the Chantry for reimbursement. Fi'ir, it seems you travel in exalted company these days." "Ah, this must be Sister Ariel Wyant, a legend in your own time, and Vi Sovari, both buxom and brilliant. I've heard so much about you."
"Eat shit," Vi said. Gasps arose around the table, and Sister Ariel put her hands on her temples.
"Apparently all I've heard is true," Solon said.
He wasn't acting like himself. Solon never prattled, but now he was speaking so quickly that even if anyone had known what to say, they couldn't have fit a word in. "I have to tell you, on my way here, I saw a very dour Lee-Nought gentleman speaking some rather choice words at being denied entry to the selfsame Sarsiri who barred yours truly from said engagements. But here I stand, at considerable cost to my kingdom, and most especially my marriage. It took me 3 weeks of moping about White Cliff to secure my wife's permission to come. Oh, you married men can pretend to be the masters of your castles and keeps and so forth, but the mistress of the bedchamber is the mistress of the master, eh? Regardless,
Here I stand, and I must say the crowning jewel of my visit is this, Lantano Garawashi. It is a great honor to meet you.
Solon strode over to the saucier eye and extended his hand.
I don't clasp hands with fish, Lantano Garawashi said.
Hideo Mitsurugi snorted, but no one else said a word. Suddenly, Solon's rushed and, to Fi'ir's eyes, panicky demeanor shifted. Solon had tripped over his tongue to get to Lantano Garawashi, but now that he had the man's attention, he was utterly patient.
It seems to me, Solon said, that a man born to an iron blade should not scorn the friendship of kings.
Dead silence settled on the room. No one spoke like that to Lantano Garawashi. Solon continued.
You have no peer when it comes to the spilling of blood, Lantano Garawashi. If you died today, your only legacy would be blood. Wouldn't you rather your legacy was that of a man who spilled blood to quench the fires of war? Can butcher's hands become carpenter's hands? As a brother king, I ask you once more and once only, will you take the hand of friendship?
Solon stood with hand extended. It was an odd thing to ask a doomed man. Fi'ir expected Garawashi to spit in Solon's face. But Garawashi stood.
Let there be peace between us, he said,
and took Solon's hand. Standing right next to them, his own bulk blocking most of the table from seeing what transpired, Fi'ir saw sudden confusion in Lantano Garawashi's eyes. He withdrew his hand from Solon's clasp, with one finger still pressed against his palm, concealing something. Then he rested that hand on Sior Kelestos's pommel. With a tiny sound, something clicked home, and Fi'ir understood. Gods! The greatest red dragon's heart and head. Fi'ir had thought it meant the greatest red ruby, and it did. But it also meant the greatest red mage. Solon. Garawashi whipped the sword out of its scabbard and slammed it on the table. A perfect ruby, redder than ruby red, burned in the pommel, and it swam with deep magic, though Fi'ir hadn't imbued it with any weaves. The Mystareel blade had patterns like a folded steel blade, but its patterns glittered like diamonds, sparkling, and then transparent, letting a man see all the way through the blade into the heart of its magic. As they watched, every diamond-like ripple faded to a purer translucence, like a slow shockwave, as the twin dragons breathed fire. The fire blossomed in a thick bar from hilt all the way to the point of the sword. The heat of it warmed Fi'ir's face. Fi'ir had created something beyond himself. He was a great smith, but he wasn't this good. Awed, Fi'ir turned to Solon. The new King Tofusen grinned at him.
Call me Frodo, call me king,
Lantano Garawashi said, and if there was a trembling of wonder in his voice, no one noticed it through their own. Hideo Mitsurugi's jaw was slack.
Lantano Garawashi, I declare you...
My lord,
the court mage interrupted. Mitsurugi acquiesced.
My ancestors have looked forward to this day for centuries. We've wanted it and feared it. Perhaps the regents, most of all. Frauds have been attempted, so the regent's sword carries a test. I beg your pardon, Doen Lantano, but it is my duty.
He drew his ruby-encrusted blade and gave the pommel a sharp twist.
It clicked, and he pulled half of the hilt off. Inside was a thin scroll woven with preservation magics. Mitsurugi read it, his lips moving as he puzzled out the old language.
Lantano Gerowashi, banish the fires from the blade.
Gerowashi took the blade, and the fires died. How did he know how to do that?
I need a candle, Mitsurugi said,
and someone slid one down the table to him. He picked it up and brought it toward the blade. Terror seized Fear's breath. Mitsurugi brought the candle to the very spot Fear had hidden his vanity, his own smith mark. The crossed warhammers practically leapt out of the metal. Mitsurugi sighed. Fear's heart stopped. Mitsurugi said,
Down to Oren Raisin's crossed warhammers. It's real. This blade is Sior Celestos. Lantano Gerowashi, you are the lost king of Siora. The Sasiorai stand at your word.
Real, not a forgery. The very things that made it different from Kurok were what convinced the regent that Fear's blade was real. Fear's limbs felt weak. He had a single moment to think, How embarrassing! I can't possibly pass... Then he passed out.